Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, March 12, 2024. Joel.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. If you have your Hebrew Bible, it would be Joel chapter 3. You don't have to do any push-ups. We'll have Tim get out there and give me 100 right there. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. And we thank you, sir, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hal Lindsay has an article, Biblical Israel. The Israel that we see today is Biblical Israel. History shows that the Jews in Israel today descend from the Jews in Israel 2,000 years ago. And God placed the proof in their DNA. Do you know what that means? It means the Bible is true and you can trust every word. The Jewish people remaining distinct and regathering in Israel is one of the greatest of all biblical miracles. And it is taking place right now before our very eyes. There were many dispersions of the Israelites from their homeland. Those dispersals culminated with Rome sacking Jerusalem and destroying the temple in 70 AD. The children of Israel were dispersed around the globe. This is called the diaspora. They were physically and economically assimilated into cultures the world over. And yet, miraculously, they remained a distinct people. And their DNA proves it. Michael Hammer of the Arizona Research Laboratories at the University of Arizona summarized the results of his major study of the DNA of Jews from various places around the world. Quote, despite their long-term residence in different countries and isolation from one another, most Jewish populations were not significantly different from one another at the genetic level. The results support the hypothesis that the paternal gene pools of Jewish communities from Europe, North Africa, and the Middle East descended from a common Middle Eastern ancestral population and suggest that most Jewish communities have remained relatively isolated from neighboring non-Jewish communities during and after the diaspora. Now, Michael Hammer wrote this in 2001. His results have been confirmed several times since. A 2013 study released in the peer-reviewed scientific journal Nature concludes, quote, these results trace the origins of most Jewish diaspora communities to the Levant. And the Levant means the area bordering the Eastern Mediterranean. In other words, the area of Israel. In all of history, there is no other story like this one. These people were exiled from their land. They met harassment and persecution everywhere they went. On more than one occasion, they faced attempts at genocide. Every human instinct would be to hide within the surrounding culture by removing all distinctions. But they didn't do that. They kept their faith traditions and they married within their faith community. The people of this small nation were dispersed and spread around the world 2,000 years ago. But to this day, they remain a distinct people, with genetic markers placing their ancestors in the area of ancient Judea. It is nothing less than breathtaking. But here's the kicker. 3,000 years ago, God said this would happen. In Ezekiel chapters 36 and 37, that Israel is to be regathered before their spiritual renewal. Since the establishment of modern Israel in 1948, a significant portion of the world has made the destruction of this tiny nation their great priority, including several immensely wealthy oil-producing nations. But with all that money and all the power that goes with it, they have not removed little Israel. This is a miracle as potent in its own way as the parting of the Red Sea. It is a sign to the nations that God keeps His word and that nothing can stand in the way of that. In Matthew 24, verse 35, Jesus put it this way, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. The ongoing existence of Israel And the Jewish people prove that. It was the living and true God who gave the land of Israel to the Jewish people. The living and true God gave it to them. The living and true God has a plan for this nation. It will never, ever be destroyed. Hamas constantly trying to do it. Hezbollah constantly trying to do it. The Iranians constantly trying to do it. They will never destroy Israel. They'll never destroy the Jewish people. For there is a Jew, the son of David, the Messiah, the anointed one who is the living and true God. And he will return at the second advent. He will rescue the remnant of Jews and the remnant of Gentiles around the world that have believed in Christ. For there will be, at the end of the tribulation, there will be a great spiritual revival. Moses and Elijah proclaiming the gospel all over the world. The whole world will hear the gospel. And the 144,000 super evangelists, 12,000 of the 12 tribes of Israel, proclaiming the grace gospel all over the world. And many, many Jews will realize that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and believe in him. And many, many Gentiles will realize that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and they will believe in him. And when Jesus Christ returns at the second advent, all unbelievers on planet Earth will be destroyed. It's called the baptism of fire. The only people who go into the millennial kingdom are believers only. The millennial kingdom begins a new civilization, believers only. And Joel chapter 2, verses 28 to 32, describes the phenomenal blessings that will be poured out on all mankind in the millennial kingdom. All mankind, everyone in the millennial kingdom, they're all believers. Now, there are a lot of, it'd be great if the communicators of the Word of God spent their time preparing for the ministry and studying and teaching from the original autographs, but they don't. They read a book here and they read a book there, and that becomes their theology. They ought to be reading the book here, the scriptures. And they say that Joel 2, 28 and 29 were fulfilled at the beginning of the church age on Pentecost. That's impossible, because it says in our passage, when we get there, and we will, that the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, is poured out on all mankind. All mankind. And at Pentecost, there were lots and lots and lots and lots of unbelievers. But the millennial kingdom is believers only. Now, I was practicing. I never know when I'm going to raise my voice a little bit. So Cliff and Ryan came over and they say, we're getting reports that some of the classes that are being recorded, there's some crackling when you raise your voice. So we need to take a look at that and see if we can fix that. So you see, we have a good chance of doing that tonight. So. Start out normal volume, and then God the Holy. I never know when I don't practice before a mirror. They told us to do that at Dallas Seminary. Practice before a mirror how you're going to present it. I have never stood before a mirror. First of all, I get sick looking at myself before a mirror. I have never practiced. What kind of a gesture am I going to use? They told us, you got to practice. You walk over here. Look over here. Practice that. And then go to the other side. Don't want to ignore the other part of the congregation. I have never done that. God the Holy Spirit, when I get up here, at least when I start, I'm in fellowship filled with the Spirit. And God the Holy Spirit leads me and guides me. And there's, whenever I increase the volume, you know, years ago when I was at Washington State University, and there was a family there, the great, great Christians. And they invited me out to their house and had me listen to them as they were listening to a Bible class from this pastor called R.B. Thiem, Baraka. And I sat there in their basement listening to the teaching of the Word of God. And I, when it was over, I looked at them. I said, that is how the Bible should be taught. And I got so excited. And I kept listening. I kept going down in their, going over to their house, listening to Bible class, and then finally Ellen Kelso, it was the Kelso family, she said, you know, you can order your own. I can't. And I got so excited, I took one of the classes home with me. And I said to my mom, Mom, here is a pastor teaching the Bible the way a Bible should be taught. I want you to listen to it. I was so excited. I knew she was just going to go, yeah, this is fantastic. This is great. I knew she was going to say that. She didn't. I said, well, Mom, what did you think? Well, he didn't have to yell. I said, yeah, but did you hear what he was yelling about? That's the main thing. It doesn't matter the volume. What is he saying? And so every once in a while, God the Holy Spirit has me raise the volume a little bit. So here are all these fundies that are haven't got a clue. And they say that this passage was fulfilled at Pentecost. And it was not fulfilled at Pentecost at all. Because the Spirit is poured out on all mankind. All mankind. Every person living in the millennium, the Holy Spirit was poured out on. At Pentecost, it was only poured out on believers. In the millennium, everyone is a believer. Pentecost, most of the people on planet Earth were unbelievers. So it was not fulfilled at Pentecost. Absolutely, 100%. And I'll get back to the, until I get there, and then I'll get back up again. So we are in Joel. Have we prayed yet? We did. Okay. We can pray again if you want to. Joel chapter 2, and I got, some of you are giving me, what are you going to be teaching after Joel? Remember, you could win $1 million. This is better than March Madness. And I've had several people give me their pick on what I'm going to be teaching after Joel. Now, it has to be, here's the kicker, it has to be an Old Testament book. It has to be an Old Testament book. Nobody has got it yet. Got some that are very close, but nobody's gotten it yet. I'm going to put in a pick. I better get it right, too. Joel chapter 2, we have just finished the paragraph, Joel 2, 21 to 27, which is a paragraph on the foretaste of the millennial kingdom. And in Joel 2, 21, we saw that the land is happy in the millennium. Joel 2, 22, the animals are happy in the millennial kingdom. In Joel 2, 23a, the people are happy in the millennial kingdom. In Joel 2, 23b and 24, there is great economic prosperity in the millennial kingdom. And then in verses 25 through 27, we see that repentance is followed by restoration of blessings in the millennial kingdom. Verses 26 and 27 sounded like this. You will have plenty to eat, and you will have inner satisfaction, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who manufactures wonders, miracles with you all. And then my people will never be put to shame. And then you will know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. And then my people will never be put to shame again. Israel and the Jewish people will never be put to shame again. In fact, Jerusalem will be the capital of the whole world. And the whole world will be blessed by Israel, blessed by association with the Jewish people. And nations from all over the planet will go to Israel to worship the living and true God, the Son of David, Jesus Christ, in the millennial kingdom. Now that brings us to Joel 2, 28 to 32, where we have the return of the Messiah. And I pointed out to you last time that in the Hebrew text, Joel 2, 28 to 32 is really Joel 3, verses 1 through 5. In the Hebrew text, chapter 2 ends at verse 27. That's the end of chapter 2 in the Hebrew text. And then chapter 3 is what we have in verses 28 to 32 in our English text. That's Joel 3, 1 to 5. And then in the Hebrew text, Joel 3, 1 to 21 is Joel 4, 1 to 21. And then I gave you a question. Why? Why do we have this difference between the Hebrew text and the English text? Because it was recognized very early among the Orthodox Jewish believers, that Joel 2, 28 to 32 was a very significant prophetical passage. Joel 2:28-32 is a very significant prophetic passage describing that part of the day of the Lord concerning the millennial kingdom, that 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on planet Earth following his second advent. Joel 2:28-29, the millennial kingdom will be a time of great spirituality, great ecstatics. God the Father will pour out the God the Holy Spirit on all mankind, everyone living on planet Earth in the millennial kingdom. Joel 2:30-31 tells us when this will take place. And then Joel 2:32 gives the qualifications for entering the millennial kingdom. This is a prophetical passage looking forward to the millennial reign of Jesus Christ on planet Earth. It is not looking at the church age. We are living in the church age. Church age concludes with the rapture, and after that, then the day of the Lord begins. And the day of the Lord has three parts. It starts out with the tribulation period, 7 years in length, 70th week of Daniel. At the end of that, that's part one of the day of the Lord. Part two of the day of the Lord, the second advent of Jesus Christ to the earth. When he returns at the second advent, the baptism of fire. All unbelievers are removed from planet Earth. Only believers go into the millennial kingdom. And then part three, the millennial reign of Jesus Christ on planet Earth. So even though this passage is quoted by Peter in Acts 2:17-21, that does not mean that the day of Pentecost is the fulfillment of this passage. It is not. The day of Pentecost and the church age is not the fulfillment of this passage. Rather, the day of the Lord, the second advent, and the millennial kingdom is the fulfillment of this passage. The millennial kingdom, the Lord Jesus Christ establishes his kingdom on planet Earth, and we now are living in the golden age. God has promised in the prophetic scriptures that a golden age is coming on planet Earth. The millennial reign of Jesus Christ on the earth. The Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of David ruling planet Earth from Jerusalem. And this golden age will be a time of perfect environment. It will be a time when war and famine and flood and disease will be no more. They will all cease. This golden age will be a time of world peace. There will be no war. There will be no military. There will be no Army, Navy, Marine Corps, Air Force, Coast Guard. There will be no training, no military training. Sorry, Air Force Falcons. No Air Force Falcons in the millennium. We don't need it. The living and true God, the Messiah, is ruling planet Earth. The Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace is ruling planet Earth. The Golden Age will not be brought about by man, but only by the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes back at the second advent. This Golden Age is called the Millennium. And we'll see some passages where we get that, the millennium. The word millennium is not found in the Bible. But we do have in the Bible that Satan is placed in prison for 1,000 years. And there, right there is why we have perfect environment. There's no religion. The leader of religion is in prison. So now this, when God the Father pours out on all mankind the Holy Spirit with great, not only great spirituality, but great ecstatics, it's all bona fide because there's no religion. The leader of all religion is in prison for how long? 1,000 years. How long is the millennium? 1,000 years. Okay, I knew. It's a deep point, but I knew you could. I have a congregation of geniuses. So refer to the 1,000 year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on planet Earth. Now, in the times that we're living right now, we're living in worldwide apostasy, worldwide degeneracy. I've never seen so much anti-Semitism in the world. It's the same as what in the times of the Holocaust. All over the world, worldwide anti-Semitism, hatred of Israel, hatred of the Jewish people. And there's wars all over planet Earth. Hot wars and cold wars all over planet Earth. Israel is attacked by terrorists. But the world is sending money to terrorists. The world is sending money to Hamas and Hezbollah and Iran. They're sending money to terrorists to destroy Israel. And Israel didn't start the war. Hamas did. Terrorists did. And here we have a world that is supporting the terrorists. Well, God said, you'll know in times of apostasy and degeneracy, because good will be evil and evil will be good. Light is darkness and darkness is light. And that's where we are today. And here is Israel being attacked by Hamas, by Iran, by Hezbollah. Again, they've been doing this, trying to destroy them. They've been trying to destroy every Jew from the face of the earth ever since 1948. They haven't done it. They never will. And we got a great, when we get to the next book, is really, going to really love this next book. Because the Lord Jesus Christ sends out elect angels, they're part of a military, and their job is to protect Israel. Protect Israel so that Israel's not destroyed. This is really great. I'd tell you what it was. I don't want to do that. But here we got wars all over. In Israel, trying to destroy Israel. In the Ukraine, trying to destroy the Ukraine. It's a miracle that Israel is still here. It's a miracle that the Ukraine is still here. Russia thought they'd destroy them completely in 2 weeks. Well, they're still here. Years after they started. And there is a great pivot of mature believers in the Ukraine. And it's another miracle right in our midst. But we got wars all over planet Earth. And the cry of our times is peace. 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 Mankind is looking for peace and security. Man wants job security. Man wants health security. Man wants life security. People today want to put an end to war. They want universal peace to prevail. So, Today, the reversionist is constantly seeking world peace and security when there is no peace and security. Today, the reversionist is constantly seeking world peace and security when there is no peace and security. There's no peace and security in the United States of America. And when you have leadership in your nation that have no borders, people just pour over the border, and not, guess who is it coming over? Not just people from Central America and Mexico, but terrorists are coming over the border. They're coming over the border from the southern border of the United States. They're coming over the border from the northern border in the United States. There is no security in the United States. It's dangerous just to walk down your neighborhood, go to the store. So today the reversionist is constantly seeking world peace and security when there is no peace. Turn over to Ezekiel chapter 13. Ezekiel chapter 13. Ezekiel 13, starting at verse 8. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Because of your false words, lying words, and lying visions. Now, who is he talking about? False teachers, false prophets. In their day, false prophets. Today, false teachers. Today, politicians. Every time they open their mouth, they're lying. How do you like the State of the Union? We have a problem at the border, and it's all the Republicans' fault. You know, anybody that could accept a stupid statement like that. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Because of your false words and lying visions, I am against you, declares the sovereign Lord. My hand, the hand of judgment, will be against the false prophets who see false visions and utter lying, lying divinations. They will not belong to the council of my people or be listed in the records of the house of Israel, nor will they enter the land of Israel. And then you will know that I am the sovereign Lord, because they lead my people astray, saying peace when there is no peace. Turn over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah 6, starting at verse 13. From the least to the greatest, all are greedy for gain. Prophets and priests alike, all of them practice deceit. They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. And what does that mean? They have alleged to solve the problems of my people, Israel. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 10 and 11. Verse 10, from the least to the greatest, all are greedy for gain. Prophets and priests alike, all practice deceit. They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. They allege to solve the problems of my people. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians 5, starting in verse 1. Now, brothers, royal family, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, and that's the first half of the tribulation period, the first 3.5 years, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape the last half of the tribulation known as the Great Tribulation. So point one, today the reversionist is constantly seeking world peace and security when there is no peace. Two, those under the leadership of the Antichrist will be promoting peace and safety during the first half of the tribulation, the first 3.5 years. And this is with the influence of the great prostitute, ecumenical religion. So those under the leadership of the Antichrist will be promoting peace and safety during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation with the influence of the great prostitute, ecumenical religion. But sudden destruction will come upon them. That's the last half of the tribulation known as the Great Tribulation, 1 Thessalonians 5:3. Point three. There will be no world peace on planet Earth until the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, is ruling on this earth in the millennial kingdom. There will be no world peace on planet Earth until the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, is ruling on this earth in the millennial kingdom. One of the great titles of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, Isaiah chapter 9. And we saw this many times over the Christmas holidays, Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. And in this passage, Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, for unto us a child is born. That is the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. The eternal Son of God took on true humanity at his incarnation and virgin birth. For unto us a child is born. The hypostatic union of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And unto us a son is given, the procession of the eternal Son of God from heaven to earth. This is God the Father designing Operation Grace, the cross, the plan of salvation, And that plan of salvation called on the eternal Son of God to proceed. This is theologically called the doctrine of the procession of Christ. He proceeded from heaven and glory to earth to solve mankind's problem of sin. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonder Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, world peace and prosperity, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So there will be no world peace on planet Earth until the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, is ruling on this earth in the millennial kingdom. For until the Lord Jesus Christ returns at the second advent, there will be wars and rumors of wars, but there will not be world peace. Until the Lord Jesus Christ returns at the second advent, there will be wars and rumors of wars on planet Earth, but there will not be world peace on planet Earth. And Jesus Christ taught this in Matthew 24. Turn over to Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. We'll start at verse 3. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming, the second advent, and the end of the age? Verse 4. Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and they will deceive many. You will hear of wars, hot wars, and rumors of wars, cold wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed, because such things must happen. But the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation. Well, that's going on. Kingdom against kingdom. That's going on. There will be famines, economic depression. And that is just around the corner in the United States of America. And it's many places all over the world right now. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. And then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate one another. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of lawlessness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be delivered. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. And this testimony, this proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, this is the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, and the 144,000 super evangelists. And the gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. and then the end will come. So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, the Antichrist will enter the holy place and declare himself to be God, and he will demand that the world worship him as God. So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand, and then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the roof of his house go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to get his cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never, never to be equal again. So point four, until the Lord Jesus Christ returns at the second advent, there will be wars and rumors of wars all over planet Earth, but no world peace. Five, world peace will be the result of the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, ruling on planet Earth in the millennial kingdom. So world peace will be the result of the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, ruling on planet Earth in the millennial kingdom. Turn to Micah. Micah chapter 4. In Micah chapter 4, verses 1 through 8, we have the characteristics of the millennial kingdom. And in Micah chapter 4, verse 3, it says, he will judge between many peoples and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. And they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Micah 4, verse 3. So world peace will be the result of the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, ruling on planet Earth in the millennial kingdom following his second advent. Micah 4, 3. 6. The millennial reign of Christ is clearly taught in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Turn over to Revelation 20. The millennial reign of Christ is clearly taught in Revelation chapter 20. And we start out with the current ruler of planet Earth is Satan, a fallen angel. And he's hit high gear. And he's got the whole world prepared for his man, the Antichrist. But I want you to see how the millennial kingdom begins. And here's where we get 1,000. Revelation 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss, and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil or Satan, and he bound him for how long? 1,000 years. That's while the millennium's going on planet Earth, above the Earth, he's in prison for the entire time. He has bound him 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. And then after that, he must be set free for a short time. Verse 4, I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. Well, this is going back to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 2. These are church age winner believers. And then we go to tribulational martyrs. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshiped the beast. They had not worshiped the Antichrist or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or their hands. That these are the tribulational martyrs. And they came to life. Verse 4. They came to life. This is the first resurrection. Now there are two resurrections. You ought to know this. We've taught resurrection. First resurrection, believers only. Second resurrection, unbelievers. In verse 4 we have, they came to life and reigned with Christ. How long? 1,000 years. Again, millennial kingdom. Reign with Christ 1,000 years. This is the first resurrection. Now there's the parenthesis. Make sure you realize this. Verse 5 is a parenthesis. And in the parenthesis of verse 5, we have the second resurrection. The second resurrection is the resurrection of all unbelievers. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended at the end of the millennial reign of Christ. And that is the great white throne judgment. And that's verses 11 to 15 of Revelation chapter 20. So verse 5, the second resurrection is described in detail in verses 11 to 15. Now, we go back before the parenthesis. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, the first resurrection. Then after the parenthesis, this is the first resurrection, and blessed and are happy and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection, because the second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. And then this, Deb, every time I mention this, Deb goes, I can't believe. I can't believe with Jesus Christ ruling on planet, or well, she does believe. She's not an unbeliever. she's not in reversionism, and she's not an unbeliever. She definitely believes. But it's just, here is Jesus Christ, the living and true God, ruling on this world for 1,000 years, perfect environment, perfect peace, perfect prosperity, perfect health. And it starts out with believers only, but they come into the millennial kingdom in human bodies. They have children. And every one of those children is born physically alive and spiritually dead, and they need a Savior, Jesus Christ. Some will believe in Christ, and some will not believe in Christ. And after 1,000 years of having children, at the end of that 1,000 years, there are unbelievers all over planet Earth. And when Satan is released from prison, he gets all those unbelievers together and makes a march to Jerusalem to wage war. Verse 7. When the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations. To deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth. Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle, to gather them for war. In number, they are like the sand of the seashore. That's how many unbelievers on planet Earth at the end of the millennial kingdom. They marched across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loved, Jerusalem. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And then verses 11 to 15, the description of the second resurrection, the judgment of all unbelievers in human history. They will be brought forward, and we've seen verses 11 to 15 many times. So the millennial reign of Christ is clearly taught in Revelation chapter 20. All right. This is a very special passage. So special to the Orthodox Jews, they made a special chapter, chapter 3, 1 through 5. And there is so much wonderful truth here. And it's very important that all of you rightly divide the word of truth and know exactly what God is saying here. All right? Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.